to Mark chapter number 16. If you don't have a Bible, you can either use a pew Bible or actually I have today's text right on the outline. So either way, but we're going to read Mark chapter 16 and verses 1 through 8 this morning. Mark chapter 16 and 1 through 8. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre of the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you'd bless now the preaching of your word. Please help me as I bring this message. Lord, please use me as your vessel and as your instrument to take these truths that are found in your word and to bring them forth in such a way that they'll speak to our hearts, that they'll draw each of us closer, Lord, to you. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have never placed their faith and trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that today, that you, Holy Spirit, would convince them of their need of Christ. That they would understand that without Christ there is no hope. And today they would be gloriously saved. Please use me this morning, Lord, despite my own faults and my own weaknesses, again to accomplish your purpose for us being here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look real quickly at verse number 3 again? And that verse, it says, "And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Really, the message that I put together this morning is the anchor to the message. Who shall roll the stone away from the sepulchre? Now, as we look at the text this morning, we're reminded that the disciples, when they approached the tomb that morning, they were really not expecting for Jesus to be raised from the dead. The scriptures tell us that. The Lord had told them that he would be raised from the dead, but they had come prepared. You notice in verse 1, they had bought the spices, the sweet spices. They were coming to anoint his body. That was the custom of the day. And they weren't prepared for what they were going to find. It wasn't as if Jesus hadn't told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and that he was going to lay down his life and that he would be put to death. And he had told them numerous times that he would be raised from the dead. But they just didn't quite get it. And they didn't realize when they got to the tomb what they are going to find. But the question that they asked as they approached the tomb was that question: Who shall roll away the stone? Who shall roll away the stone? In a real sense, that's the eternal question. Who is going to roll away the stone? And I want you to think about that this morning. If you ever get the chance to travel to Israel, and some years ago, the church sent me on a trip to Israel. It was really a blessed time. But you see the sepulchers that are in Israel. And there are different type of sepulchers. And many sepulchers are they're either caves or they're hewn out in the side of a mountain. And you walk in and it's usually very cool and it's damp. But protecting the sepulcher is the stone. And it's not like a boulder. It's more like a wheel. It's more like an oversized wagon wheel. And if you have ever observed one, they're usually about this thick and they're round. And for an adult sepulcher or a family sepulcher, they're usually about this high. And they sit on a socket. And so someone has to roll the sepulcher to the and close the doorway. And then when family would come to visit, they'd have to roll that stone back so that they could enter in to the sepulcher, to the grave. But the ladies weren't going to be able to roll that stone back. It was far too heavy for them to be able to do that. The weight was too great for them. And so they asked that question: who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And I want you to think about three simple truths this morning. That's what's on the outline. Three simple truths when we talk about the resurrection and we look back 2,000 years ago with regards to what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. I hope you realize this morning, and one of the joyous, or the most joyous, really, day of the year, I think, is Easter, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection, you and I have victory over death. We have victory over death. Now, death isn't a really a popular subject to talk about. People don't like to discuss it. It makes people uneasy. But when you are talking about Christ, and you're talking about the resurrection, and you're talking about the Easter season, it is one of the few deaths that you have to talk about. Because it's so central to everything that we believe as Christians. And here in the account that we just read, you notice, I think it's some four times in these verses, maybe five times, the word sepulcher is used. It's the grave. It's reminding us that there was a grave. There's an old country western song. I actually heard it this past week. It goes like this: everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Because people don't like talking about death. The Scriptures teach us a lot about death. Look on your handout. Psalm 89, 48 says this: what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Or Psalm 90, it's not on your handout, says this: so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Elsewhere in the Scriptures, it tells us that our lives are as a with regards to God, are as a tale that's already been told. He knows our whole life. The day that we're born, the day that we're going to die, and all that's in between. But we're reminded this morning that because of Christ and because of the cross, and because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you and I, if we'll put our faith and we'll put our trust in Jesus Christ, that we have victory over death. That is the great hope. This past week, unexpectedly, I had to fly to Florida for 2.5 days. My mom was going through some things, and she asked if I could come. So I flew out on Tuesday night. I flew back on Thursday morning. When I got on my plane in Fort Myers, Florida, I took my seat, and a young woman sat down next to me. And I had taken a book with me to read. It's a great book. If you have any questions, really, if you're a bit skeptical about Christianity, I would recommend that you read Tim Keller's book, The Reason for God. Or if you have friends that are skeptical, I would recommend that you buy the book and give them that book. I've given that book to numbers of people. In fact, I gave it to the young lady who sat next to me on the plane. Because she saw it sitting there. I wasn't reading it. It was in the little part that you can pull back. And she said, well, what are you reading there? What is that that you're reading? And so I took the book out and I showed her and I went through some of the chapters. And then we got into a discussion. And she said, well, I do fear death. And many people do. And I asked her, well, do you have any faith? And one thing led to another. And she told me when she was a child that she had attended church. And the conversation just grew from that. And I was able to share with her what it meant to have faith in Christ and the hope that we can have. And I said, why don't you take the book with you? I think you'll really enjoy reading through it. And so she did. Because she had a fear. She ended up telling me, too, I told her I would pray for her. She is concerned because they just found a mass on her bladder. Well, when that kind of news comes, you start to think about things, don't you? You start to think about eternity. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is such a wonderful thing because He has given us victory over death. You know, the Bible says that when that day comes to be absent from the body, it's to be present with the Lord. And it takes away that fear. And so all through the Scriptures, we're reminded that there was Jesus. He was in the sepulcher. But when they arrived at the sepulcher, He was nowhere to be found. Because He had conquered death. And that's the message of Easter. Christ has conquered death. When you think about it, there is no greater problem in life. No matter what you face, no matter what situation, no matter what difficulty, they all pale in comparison to the eternal question. But secondly, as we read through the text this morning, we're reminded with regards to the resurrection that not only do we have victory over death, we have victory over sin. We have victory over sin. You know, there is no sin too great that has ever occurred in your life that Jesus Christ can't give you victory over. With one exception, there's one sin that you cannot be forgiven of. One sin. That one sin is to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. But every other sin, whatever sin you have committed, Christ can forgive you for that sin. He went to the cross to die for that sin. It's a wonderful truth. Look on your handout, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The Scriptures say this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You know, the reason that we die, point number one, is point number two, because we're all sinners. That's why we die. The wages, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But as I thought of the text, and I thought of that stone in the text that we read, that physical barrier that was there between, and in any sepulcher where there's a stone, it's a physical barrier between life and death. Inside of the sepulcher, the person who's buried in the sepulcher has died. Outside the sepulcher, life goes on. And that stone, as they began to arrive that day, the women arrived that day, Mary and Siloam and the others, they who's going to roll that stone away? But from a spiritual point of view, sin like the stone is what separates life from death. And the stone of sin is too great for any of us to roll away. It's too heavy. The price is too great. Our sin, my sin, your sin, it is too great for you to pay. It's beyond your ability to pay for your sin. It's beyond the amount of times that you can go to church. It's beyond the amount of times that you take communion. It's beyond the amount of times that, and you can fill in the blanks. There is no religious exercise that is great enough for your sin to be rolled away. None whatsoever. We're glad that you're here this morning if you're visiting with us, but I want you to understand this today, that you gain absolutely no merit with God by being here today. Now, I know that's alarming because people think, well, wait a minute, I'm going to church. Shouldn't I go to church? Well, of course you should go to church. But we don't gain any merit with God. There's no merit we can gain with Him. Because salvation is because of the grace and the mercy of God. And so, yes, it's very important, I think, for people to be reading their Bible and to be in a house of worship and to be regularly worshiping the Lord. For believers, it's what builds our faith. It's what helps us grow in the faith. We come to worship the Lord. Our singing today was wonderful, but it really wasn't in reality for the person sitting next to you, although I hope it was a blessing for them. In reality, as we were singing to God. We were worshiping God. Even the choir, they were singing looking at you, but really, they were singing to God. And so there's nothing that you and I can do that is good enough or gain enough merit to roll that stone away. Just like the women, who's going to roll the stone away? Our sin is just too great. Look at verse 14 of our chapter. It's not on your handout, so I'm sorry if you don't have your Bible opened. But in chapter 16, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples and he says this, "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not." You know, that's really the essence of sin. Hardened hearts, not having faith, not believing in. It's a stone that's just too great. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul wrote these words to the church in Rome. He said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." The reason that there is a grave is because that there is sin. And the sin is too great for any of us to deal with. It's too great for any of us to remove. Now look at verse 6 of our text. It says this, "And he saith unto them," to the ladies, this is the angel that is sitting there at the tomb, "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." Well, let me just stop there. Well, why was he crucified? You remember from the scriptures that Jesus said, you know, "I could call 10,000 angels and my Father would deliver me from his crucifixion." He said, "Listen, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I'll raise it up again." You see, Christ had to go to the cross. He had to go. If he didn't go to the cross, my sin and your sin would not have been paid for, and I couldn't preach to you my second point, that we have victory over sin. He gained the victory for me. He gained the victory for you. He did for you and he did for me what we could never do for ourselves. And because of Easter, we can say we have victory over sin. So let's start again in verse 6. "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." He's risen. Wow, those are the three most powerful. He is risen. Will you just say those words out loud for me? He is risen. Wow. Pastor Ethan this morning in the adult class, he reminded us that if there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. And we're reminded in Paul's great defense of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, written some 30 or so years after what we've just read here today, Paul defending the resurrection, He used the word vain there 4 or 5 times. Everything that we would do then is vain. It's just for nothing. But it's not vain, because we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. So they couldn't roll the stone away, the physical stone. They couldn't roll the spiritual stone away, nor can we. In Ephesians 2:1, it says of Christ, "And you hath He quickened." That means to give life. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins." Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. "God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love." How do we know that God loves us apart from the fact that His Word tells us that He loves us? And the Bible says that God is love. We know that God loves us because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He not only told us that He loved us, but He displayed His love for us on the cross 2,000 years ago, conquering death and conquering sin. And by the way, you don't have to wait until you go to heaven for sin to be conquered in your life. He conquered it for you then. It can be conquered now. We just have to have our faith in Christ. Trust upon the grace of Jesus Christ. He delivers us from it. The chains of sin that bind us. But lastly, because of the resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life. Who will roll the stone away? The eternal question. He's risen. The angel said, "He's risen. He's alive. He's alive." Listen, you read the account in Luke, and there's a phrase there. They did not believe for joy, it says. You know what it means? It was that phrase, "They did not believe for joy." Well, they actually believed. When you study the phrase down, it means it was just too good to be true. And when you think about the Gospels, think about it. It's just too good to be true. You and I, we're born into this world as sinners. The Bible teaches us that we are actually at enmity with God. We are against God. So often we live our lives. Many of us in this room didn't come to know Christ as our Savior until we were adults. Some of us, we had heard about Jesus our whole lives until sometime during our adult life. We realized that it wasn't through some merit of our own. It wasn't through some religious act. It wasn't through church membership. It wasn't through this and through this and through this and through this. It was through the cross. And there was no other way. And all of a sudden, we realized Jesus loved me despite the fact all of those years I rejected Him. All of those years I would push Him away. All of those years I would deny Him, and yet He was faithful. And one day the reality to so many of us came that, wow, He loved me so much that He was willing to pay it all for me. Wow. It's just too good to be true. And so many of those things that I said you gain no merit for, we do those things as a reciprocal way to love Him back. If He was willing to go to the cross and die for me on the cross and to save me from my sin, to give me victory over death and to give me victory over sin and so that I could have eternal life, then I want to come and I want to worship Him. I want to sing to Him. I want to know the greatest love letter of the Bible, what it says, how much He loves me. I want to pray to Him and talk with Him. Look at the last point, the verse that Paul writes there at the end of chapter 15. If you've never read that chapter, read it sometime. It's his defense of the resurrection, as I said. But he ends the chapter and he says this, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Previous to those verses, Paul wrote, "The corruptible must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. It's all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all because of His great love for us. For 33 years He lived in this world. A 3-year ministry. The Son of God. God became a man. That always boggles my mind. That God would become like you and me, yet with the one great exception, He was without sin. Tempted to sin at all points as we are, but without sin. That's why He could go to the cross, the perfect sacrifice. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, he said, if righteousness cometh by the law, in other words, if we could gain merit, then Christ has died for nothing. He went to the cross for nothing. And it's not your good works plus Jesus hanging on the cross, it's just Jesus hanging on the cross. Whew. Wow. Because I can't speak for you, but the older I get and the more I look in the mirror, both literally and spiritually, I realize just how worthy I am. Or excuse me, how unworthy I am and how worthy He is. I'm just a wretched sinner saved by grace. Oh, man. So as we conclude this morning, that's what Easter is all about. Jesus said this in John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he ended that verse with these three words. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe He rose from the dead victorious over sin and over death? Do you believe that if you put your faith and trust in a risen Savior, He's promised to give you eternal life? There's no sin too great that Jesus can't conquer, except for the one that I mentioned earlier, the sin of unbelief. So I questioned you this morning. I ask you, if you're here today, first know this, that you're amongst friends. The majority of people in this room have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They came to that reality because they learned it from the Scriptures. They realized that they understood, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've come to terms with the fact that Jesus died and paid for their sin personally. And they called upon Him one day to be their Savior. An act of faith. How about you? I can't make it any simpler than this. The ABCs. A, you have to admit to God that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin on the cross. And by faith, the C is you call upon Him. You can call upon Him. If you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, you have never heard the gospel presented the way that I just presented it today. That Jesus came to die, He came to live for you, He came to die for you, He rose for you, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father for you. That's the gospel. Jesus said it was so simple a child could understand it. But if you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, that's what Easter is about. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He cares for you. That's why He came and died for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, as we conclude this Easter service, He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Oh, the great stone of sin has been rolled away. An old chorus that we sometimes sang in Sunday school, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my life rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. He rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you might not understand everything about Christianity. None of us understand everything. But if you understand that you're a sinner and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to know He'll save you today. He's waiting and willing, but you have to ask Him to be your Savior. You have to put your faith in Him. You have to put your trust in what He did for you 2,000 years ago. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed right now, where you sit, if you'll call out to Him, He'll save you. Dear Lord, you might say, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that I am a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, I believe, Jesus, that You came to die and You came to pay for my sin on the cross. And I ask Jesus for You to be my Savior today. I ask You to be my Savior. Right now, call upon Him. Those words are similar words to those. It's really a personal thing between you and the Lord. It's not some special format, except that you have to admit those points. It's not even a religious act. It's a relational act. You're entering into a relation with Christ as your Savior. Jesus, I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe that You died and You were buried for my sin. And this morning, I call upon You to be my Savior. I put my trust in You. This morning, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, just a minute, we're going to sing and conclude this service. But maybe you came this morning and you never had called upon the Lord to be your Savior. But today you did. Would you do this? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, except I would like to be praying that you would just grow in the faith. Because if you did that and you meant that this morning, today you became a child of God. So if you had never asked Christ to be your Savior, but today you cried out to Him and called upon Him, would you just quickly slip up your hand and put it down? By the upraised hand, you're saying, I did that today, Pastor. I had never done that, but today I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Today I ask Him into my heart. Father, thank You again for the opportunity to preach this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for who You are. And thank You for the precious blood that was shed. That You would wash away my sin. Bless now as we sing this concluding hymn in Jesus' name. Amen.